Wow, I guess we're live now. And hi, Di. Yeah.
Hello.
New show. Hey, how are you? And
I'm calling in.
Yeah, and I'm calling in from Florida, and you're telling everybody where you're from, and we're co-hosting our show together.
Yeah. Up in Evergreen, and it's a beautiful day. So this is our first kickoff show.
Right.
In a while. Yes. Yes. We took a little hiatus. Uh-huh.
I know. Di and I have been, I love BBS. They are the ones that got me started on radio, I think, back in 2012. And I left, and now I'm back. And you and I have been doing co-hosting a radio show other places and being guests on other things. And so it's nice to come. I like to say it's nice to come home, you know. So,
Yeah.
And these are good folks here. So I love their show. I love their energy. And it's, as I said, it's good to be back. So let's talk about Angel Coaches. And I think they have done an excellent job on our show page, sharing with everyone who we are. But I'm the clairvoyant. We've got a book out. And you can tell everybody about our book. But it's, you mean there's a law that says he's attracted to me? I'm the psychic, and Di's the humorous. But we're both psychic. And we're both very humorous. So share with us what our book is about. That it came out not too long ago, a couple of years ago, but we got a new one come out.
It's explaining the law of attraction in layman's terms, because there's all these books out about the law of attraction that are very, very metaphysical. You know, they don't appeal to the everyman, you know, unless you're really, you like to read. But a lot of people like to read self-help books, and they hear about the law of attraction all the time, but they don't really understand what people are referring to. And, you know, in my generation, you know, I'm older than you, but we used to call it really the power of positive thinking. And that's really what the law of attraction is. It's thinking positive and putting that positive energy behind you, so that's what you're sending out into the universe, and that attracts other positive things into your life. And, you know, when you have that doubting Thomas inside you, that, or as you call it, the backseat driver, you know, that backseat driver has always got that negative, I don't think this is going to work out, you know, this isn't going to be good, I'm not successful, or I'm not worth this, or I never win at love, or whatever, you're putting that negative energy out there. Even if you're wishing and hoping, you're putting negative energy behind it, and so you attract negative things. And so we were trying to just explain the law of attraction to people in terms that they can understand, from two women who are not, you know, crystal ball readers.
Hey, I know. I'm telling you something right now. Di, and for those who are listening now or who are listening down to it later, Di and I make a joke about this. You know, does anybody have issues with traffic? I know I do. And I know you and I make fun of myself, because I get the same 19 jaywalkers every day, right? And I can be talking about Archangel Michael, about love and joy, and I swear, when people don't watch and they cross the road without watching where they're going, I'm being annoyed about it now. You know, it pisses me off, right? You know, and I said, I told Di, and I'm telling you again, Di, the moment that I don't have a problem with jaywalkers is the moment that I won't have any more jaywalkers. But I literally count them every day. I have 19 of them every darn day, okay, that I'm driving, you know? And, you know, so we each have something, right? When you think about, you bring about law of attraction. Yeah, so I get in the car, and I'm, like, wishing them peace and love. And for Christmas, I actually stopped, and I gave them candy, Christmas candy, and it helped for a little bit, okay?
The jaywalkers you gave Christmas candy to.
Here's some Christmas candy, right? And, you know, so I cuss like a sailor sometimes, don't we all, right? You know? And then I'll be talking about Jesus and God and the angels and all that, but they don't seem to mind. So,
they don't seem to mind when they throw that jaywalker right out in front of you. So it's just like you have to stop mid-sentence and start cussing. So Teresa's always a lot of fun to be on the phone with when she's driving, because she'll be saying, and I was talking to Archangel Samuel or, you know, whoever, and all of a sudden she'll go, you know, I won't repeat what you say, but it's like, you SOB, you know, what are you doing? And then she'll go back into her nice voice. And continue on with that last thought. And it's so funny because, you know, people who know you as a clairvoyant would think you're always peaceful and serene and kind all the time.
That's right.
The angel, she gets angel messages. She's always happy and at peace with herself. Well, no, she's a human being like the rest of us, and Tarie has road rage.
You know what? Di is super psychic herself, and Di, I love you with that, you know, but when we each have our stuff, right?
And right, we
and
all
it's, are. Stuff, right? You know, and it's hard to be zen, nor do I really want to be zen. Have you ever tried to run a marathon and be zen? Doesn't work, okay? You know what I mean? Well, maybe it does, okay? I probably need to work on that, right? Being less competitive with others than just being myself, but I love to run. And but Di, when Di gets in her stuff, you know, what I love about you, Di, is she'll stew, and you're a stewer, okay?
So I'm a stewer. I am.
I know. You know, so let's talk to the angels and pull angel cards, right? Di's like, yeah, yes. Law of attraction. Mm-hmm. I don't even believe in that today, right? I'm like, I'm with you.
Right, right. You have those days where you're like, okay, this is, it's not, you know, why am I attracting bad stuff when I've been trying so hard to just put out, you know, positive stuff? But, you know, I think God gives you stuff on your plate sometimes just because you have a lesson to learn from it. And we've definitely had a lot of lessons. We've had a lot of lessons about life. We've had a lot of lessons about love, and we're still learning. But I think we're, you know, we always question the whys behind it. Why am I having to go through this? And when you do that, you can find it. And that's what I know you're always trying to get people that your clients when you're talking to them. It's looking at the whys instead of saying, why won't he call me? How come he's not calling? You're saying, hey, why are you just sitting home waiting for some guy to call? You know, what are you doing about yourself? You know, do you think he's thinking about you all the time? No. Why are you, you know, using all your thought energy waiting by the phone? So it's kind of how you look at things and how you get people to question themselves. And, I mean, you've taught me so much about that. And sometimes we don't like the answers we get when we look at ourselves.
Really? Yeah, you're right about
I
that.
I don't want to look in that ugly closet. Don't make me look in the ugly closet.
So,
I closed the door on that long ago.
Yeah. Let me tell you guys, or tell you guys too as well, because you shared with me yesterday. I love you, and I love my friend here. She's a beautiful person. And she says to me, and it was good, because my father said the same thing to me today, basically. And I was like, huh. I go, two messages, very similar, in the same day, or in a day apart. And you said to me, Tarie, how did you say it? I sabotage my relationships, okay, by being too competitive, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I was like,
this is spoken from someone who loves you.
Yeah. And I go, how do you know this about me, Di? And you said, because I talk to you every day, and I see you. I see you and how you are with guys. And I love men. I do. I adore men, okay? But sometimes it's hard for me to... You're like the perfect woman. You know how to be in a relationship and how to do all that stuff. And you do your angel readings and, you know, you pull your angel cards and you meditate and you pray. And, you know, and my father called me today and he said... Well, called me last night, actually. He says... Because I want to talk to you. He said, I got this message. Like,
oh, he did.
Dad.
Wow,
yeah.
Dad.
Yeah.
Well, I want to hear it.
Yes. He says, you need to be more vulnerable. And he goes, I can't even say the word. I go, really? I wonder why.
Uh-huh.
So he says, you need to be more vulnerable to, you know, for a guy to come in and love you. I go, Dad, I get it. And I said, Di told me the same thing yesterday. He goes, what are you afraid of? And you asked me that. Well, you tell me what I was afraid of. And so I'm working on that. But, yeah. And I know you are working on, because relationships, people wonder. And I think that the biggest relationship was with yourself, which I've been working on that. And I love being by myself. And I love being with a guy. And one day I will find that guy for me, and I'm open to searching. How about that? You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm open to searching.
Right. You're open to the possibility of not being alone.
Yeah. Yeah, possibilities. So that's, you know, but you guys pointed that out, and I know I've been on a journey with trying to figure that out too myself, and working with the angels, and they've given me some real cool guidance with it, you know, and then sometimes I think they sit up there on a cloud and just like play their harp and really, what else? I'm down here suffering. Okay.
So. We're suffering, and they're just sitting on a cloud, those darn angels.
Playing their harp, right? You know, singing songs, you know.
Uh-huh.
Probably not even fun tunes. They're singing songs from the church.
No, just church songs. Yeah, church songs.
Yeah. How many ways can you sing and play Amazing Grace, right? So, but Brady, when you need them and you're like dying inside because of whatever reason, and men, I don't really have too much. I love guys, and as I said, when it happens with me, it will be good. But I'm open to it, and I'm learning to not. I don't have to compete to have a great boyfriend. You know, sometimes it's okay to let him win, right? You know. So
yeah, I got to tell a funny story about you. I have to tell on you. Okay, this is true.
Okay.
So she likes a guy, and she'll come home and call me and go, "Guess what? I beat him by 0.2 of a point in the mile. Guess what? I did twice as much rowing as he." And I'm going, "Cherie, this is a guy that you really like, and you want to, you know, get together with him and connect with him, and you're just trying to beat him."
You know, and I've gotten messages about that from God and the angels, and, you know, in my meditation in the morning. And I am, so today I was running with a friend of mine, and I didn't look at him because, you know, you told me not to look at that, you know, like how much he's running or whatever.
Right.
So I didn't. And until the end, I was like, "How did you do that?" He goes, "Cherie, I didn't erase it. I just started out with the same. I kept my timer on the whole time." I was like, "Oh," because I was really worried. He like did, you know, he's almost did a mile more than me. You know what I mean? And I knew that was impossible. Yeah, you know. But I'm learning that. You don't compete. You can compete with yourself, and that's cool. And I know that men have big egos. We do too. Women do. We just do it a little differently. And so I'm going to tell a good story about you. So I'm out here competing, running, and die. I die is like looking to have a great relationship, and she's, you know, met somebody so sweet, and they're in the process of working it out and being together. But so her idea of a great relationship is sitting down and watching the football game, Super Bowl, and I want to know on a psychic level who's going to win. Okay, who do you think is going to win? And
Patriots, damn it.
And then, I think the Patriots are too as well. Okay, good. So you heard it from the two psychics, a Patriots. Okay, so.
Anyway, I hate that.
But you, you hate that? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm not a fan of either team. I mean, it's not that I'm a bad, like, I don't like them. It's just that I'm a Broncos fan, you know, and so I just want someone to beat the Patriots. You know, I Atlanta, I'm rooting for,
you
know.
Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
they need a new
idea.
They need a new champion. That's funny. Well, she and I both think the Patriots are going to win, so that's interesting. Who do you guys think is going to win? And then the other thing is that for being a teacher for you, sitting down watching a football game, because she's a big football fan, cooking like food to eat, and drinking beer and eating with your guy in front of the TV watching the game.
That's
so nice. I'm learning how to do that. I'm having cookies now. So sad when I lose myself.
Yeah.
I learned how to make cookies this past Christmas, and it was so nice. And because I've never been much of a cook, but I learned how to make cookies, and now I can serve cookies and wine,
coffee.
The guy,
coffee.
When he comes over,
you learn how to make coffee.
Coffee. No, I got a new coffee maker and how to make coffee now.
Yeah,
okay,
see?
And my new coffee maker. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you know. Hey, but I'm a great clairvoyant.
Exactly. It doesn't matter. It's what you love to do. I love to cook. So I love to cook for people I love. And so that's, and I love football. I love to watch football. And so that's kind of like my happy, my little happy zone there. It's like, I'll make a big spread and we'll turn on the game and we'll just chill out and have a few beers and lounge around. And in, during the commercial breaks, if the commercials aren't good, we can have some really deep philosophical conversation. That's like my idea of the perfect afternoon.
I know. Yeah, I know. And you do it well and stuff. But I have to share with you, most, we were laughing about love and joking about it and, you know, my numerous attempts at cooking, and but I don't enjoy it. But I tell you something, I love making coffee. I make better coffee for me than Dunkin' Donuts or, what's that other one? Starbucks. I think I love my coffee. I've got this great, big, fancy coffee maker.
Good. So, I'm pouring coffee as we speak.
Mm-hmm. And so I've got, I'm sitting here holding it myself. But the one thing that with wanting to know if he's going to call and wanting to know if he's going to, if he or she's going to be there. And I got a great story because I think readings are great and I think you can start there, but I think to get real change, I know I've worked with a coach and Di and I have worked together and she helps me and I help her. But I think that it takes more than one session. I really do to change, mm-hmm. To change a way of thinking, change your mindset, change your life. And that's what I've learned to do with, you know, creating great relationships with myself first, because that's the best relationship with others as well. But I met a lady and she came to me, she was a referral actually. And she said, Sri, I want to find a great love. And you and I talked about it because mm-hmm. She had went through her life thinking that she had to measure up to a man's standards. And I was like, no. You measure, he needs to measure up to yours, right? And
right.
And in turn, the guy, you're going to measure. And it doesn't sound sexy, but you want a great love, raise your standards, right? And make sure you have mm-hmm. some, you know. So I worked with her and she met this guy and he's a great guy. And you and I talked about him because I run a lot of things by Guy and, you know, and you always give me good psychic info and what you pick up, what I pick up, I do the same thing for you. But it was just amazing that she was not getting these men because she's very beautiful on the outside, inside super insecure. So long story short, I've been working with her since December. I wanted to share this mm-hmm. with you, said I'd share with you on the show. And so she, you know, and these guys would come and go and she wasn't becoming intimate with them, but she would date them. And then they say, well, they didn't want to date her anymore after a couple of times. And so she met a guy, and he was super strong, super beautiful, inside and out, and everything that she wanted. And then she started saying, oh, is he going to drop me? Is he going to drop me? I said, stop it, right? Because what you think about, you bring about the law of attraction. And mm-hmm. so long story short, you know, I asked you about this. The guy told her, he said he wanted to move back to Canada with his kids, and if they'd been going out for about 2 or 3 weeks where he told her that he was falling in love with her, only wanted to date her. So I got on the phone with him and said, Ty, what do you think this dude's going to do? Because we both felt he was going to leave, and he did. And so this was last week, and, you know, I'd been working with her with Just Loving Yourself, and the angels are working with her. And she said, I said, listen, is this a deal breaker for you, him not calling? When he said it 3 days and he's not called at all, she goes, yes, it is. And I said, raise your standards. She goes, I'm going to let him go. The first time she's ever done that. So she
wow.
sent him a text.
Mm-hmm.
First time. Sent him a text and said, you know, you needed 3 days. It's been 6. And she said, you know, basically we're done. And
right.
Yeah, good for her. And she asked me, she goes, is he gone? I said, yes, he is. I said, but if he comes back and I said, when you let him go and didn't compromise your standards to have a guy because you thought you were never going to get one, then you raised mm-hmm. the bar. And so I got a call from her today. She's met another guy and she says, Tori, I feel better about this one because I feel better about me. She goes, I raised my
really?
Standards. Like, yay. Yay. You know, so
mm-hmm.
anyway. And, you know, and when you raise your standards and you really clear about what you're looking for, then your guy, your girl will come, you know. And people,
right.
you and I talked about this. So people think, oh, I went to the psychic or I went to the magic eight ball. I don't care where you go. And they said I was going to meet the love of my life. But if you are not ready to meet that love of your life and you don't see yourself as the best that you can be, how are you going to attract that? What's your thoughts on that? I mean, because you and I have dealt with that a lot, you know, with people.
Oh, yeah. You always, if you don't think you deserve that great person, if you really think like they're too good for you, like oh, I'd be doing so good to get them, you will not get them because you're putting yourself down and you're feeling less than, and you'll keep attracting people who treat you like that or who leave you or whatever until you start feeling like I'm worth it. And I'm not saying, oh, you got to get stuck up and be arrogant. I'm just saying you've got to have that feeling that I'm worth their love. I'm worth their attention and energy. And if they're not going to give it to me, I'm going to be with somebody who recognizes my value, because this person's not worth my time of day if they're not recognizing my value. And when you really get in that mindset, you start attracting these people who are a higher caliber. They treat you better. And sometimes
right.
I think we get in that little slump where we get a bunch of kind of a string of broken romances under our belt, and we start feeling bad about ourselves, and we're like, God, why can't anything work out for me? And I've been there. You've seen me there. You know, I go down to the depths of hell, and I'm going, why? I'm putting all my energy into this, and it's like I just can't get anything to stick. But, you know, sometimes it's nothing that you're doing or nothing that you're not doing. I also think timing has a lot to do with it, too. I think sometimes the universe is just saying, you know what, it's just not the right time. This is just not the right person for you. You can be the best person that you can be, and it's never going to work. You know,
that's right. That's true.
Just not the right person. Yeah, you know. So it's being, you know, finding your own worth and realizing your value and realizing they're just as lucky to have you as you are to have them. And if they're not treating you accordingly, then you need to get out, because it's the feeling. And, you know, we always talk about it's the feeling that you're wanting. It's not this particular person. It's got to be this one person. It has to have this person's face, you know. It's the feeling that you want to have that you should focus on. It's like, I want to have this fulfilled, full, happy, warm feeling with whoever I'm with. And so, you know, universe, bring me this person that I'm going to share these feelings with. And when you really open up to that warm, happy feeling, instead of just, oh, it's got to be this one particular person, then things start unfolding for you. Things start opening up. And it's so hard. And, you know, I have the worst time. That's an issue that I have. I have the hardest time letting go. You know, when a relationship's over, it's just like I keep beating myself on the head going, no, we need to try one more time. I should have tried one more time. And I have a hard time letting go. Yeah, but when you let go and you open yourself up and just say, this is the feeling that I want. I don't care who it is. Bring me the right person that I'm going to be able to give and receive this kind of love with. Then things start happening for you. And like your friend Nancy, or yeah, I shouldn't say his name, but the lady who's struggling with the men, you know, it's like when she starts feeling good about herself and saying, hey, I deserve this, you get a higher caliber. You know, you do.
You get
somebody that puts the last person to shame, honestly.
Right. Yeah, you're right about that. And she, I'm so happy for her, because it's the first time in her life that she's ever done that. You know what I mean? So, wow. So cool. But you're right. You really got to believe in, you know, what you're looking for, the essence of what you're looking for. And I know that but for you to get better, and I think some people are like this, that they've got to go so low and then they come back up. But that's what you do to get better,
yes.
Right? You know what I mean?
Me? Yes. So, yes, that's what I do. I have to go down to hell. I go to the bowels of hell and I lay there for a long time. And I look at everything that I did wrong. And it's not that I'm looking at everything the other person did. I'm self-analyzing myself, and I'm harder on myself than anybody else could ever be. And I'm looking at myself and saying, was my motivation pure, or was it bad? Was it selfish? You know, look at what I did wrong. How can I do it better the next time? And I have to go there and really grieve the relationship before I can finally get back up and say, okay, I'm I'm whole and I'm healthy and I'm ready for the right relationship. But I have to go through that grieving process. And to me, that's healthy. When people just rebound and they jump from the last person to the next person, that's so unhealthy, because it's like you're taking all these feelings you had from the last person and you're trying to project them onto this new person who's totally different person, you know? And I think they're doing themselves an injustice and doing the other person a disservice if they don't process the last relationship and get past that before they enter into a new one. So I always have a keen eye out for rebounders. I will not, you know, date somebody who's just coming off of a relationship, because I know they're just trying to fill the void. And I'm not going to fill the void for them, because I'm not that other person.
I hear you. No, and you know what, Di, you do that, because I remember a few times you went on dating, like, oh, he's just getting out of a relationship, or, do you remember the guy that his wife had died, or his girlfriend had died? Boy, that was a tough one, you know, so, because he didn't know he wasn't ready. But you
exactly.
You know, to,
right.
You know.
He's like, oh, yeah. You know, a year has passed. I'm ready. You know, it was his wife, and he had children with her. And when I was talking to this guy, I just wanted to cry, because his son wouldn't even talk about his mother's death with him. And I'm like, none of you have processed this, and you're not even allowing your kids to, because you don't want to talk about it. So it was, you know, that guy was nowhere near, you know, at the point of needing to date again. He needed to process his wife's death and help his children too. But yeah, you see these and it's like red flag. This guy's not ready for me.
Yeah, right?
I'll be his friend. Right.
You know,
right.
That's so true, because, and people ask you and I, and we've talked about this on past shows, but do you guys know when he's going to call? We only know when yours is going to call.
We win. Yeah, I called three. Is he going to call? What do you feel?
Yeah, I called Di. What does he think about me? What do you feel? And you can tap into that, right? You know, because she's doing one of the things I think that you do. Part of your work is to really help people cope with or find peace with death, right? When somebody close to them dies. And I know that your son died, and you have you help people with grief. And she sees angels, sees people on the other side, and so does her daughter. And they're all amazing family. But you have a feeling like we were talking the other day about a situation about somebody popping up in your life again, right? And and it's not something that, you know, and we go, yeah, I feel him around, right? And she doesn't want him to pop up, and I certainly didn't want him to pop up. And lo and behold, he popped up, right? So almost in the dream world, you know. And so share a little bit about that, how that happened or whatever, because I thought that was a cool story. His poor Di.
It was very strange. Yes, it was an ex of mine, and I was laying in bed, and I heard him in the kitchen, and I just knew it was him. And I heard him walking into my bedroom, and I could hear him breathing, and I heard him come up to my side of the bed where I was laying, and I could feel his breath on my face, and I knew he was in the house, and I thought, this guy's probably having, you know, probably got tied too many on tonight, and probably had a, you know, falling out with the last girlfriend or the current girlfriend, and he's drunk, and he showed up at my place thinking he's going to get some action, you know. And so I was angry. So I had been laying there knowing he's in my house, and it didn't scare me. He's not a scary person, you know. It didn't scare me. I thought, this guy just showed up looking for love, you know. And I rolled over ready to just ream him, and he wasn't there. There was nobody there. And it was the weirdest thing, because I was wide awake. And it was, so I called Therese, of course, the next day. I'm like, what was that? And she said, you know, it was on a spiritual level instead of a personality level or a physical level, somebody coming to be nosy. It was like on a spiritual level he was being nosy. Like, who is he? Was he in bed alone or what, you know? And so I started asking him on his higher self, not him physically, but his angels, stay away from me. Leave me alone. I'm good. I'm happy with somebody else. I'm moving on, and you need to stay in your own corner there, buddy. You know, and so I haven't had
That's
any,
cute.
I don't feel him around me after that. Yeah, it's very, you know, I think sometimes, you know, if you talk to people on a spiritual level and you ask their angels or you ask your angels to connect with their angels and ask their permission to talk with them, I really feel like you can communicate on that esoteric level, you know.
Yeah, you can. I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I do. And I think just saying, I'm sending you love, I'm sending you peace, and really coming from that place of serenity, of that good place inside of you, you can help smooth things over sometimes with when there's tension or friction between you and somebody else. You can do that in your own home without them around, and it really does work. It really does help to ease that that transition, whatever you want to say, between the when they're angry at you and when they've forgiven
right.
you, or that you really can make peace with somebody from miles away. And I've done that. I've done that with people, so it works.
Yeah, you know, it does work, and you and I do that with, what I like to do with you is I want you to see if you can connect with him, you know, and I'll see if I can connect with yours. And you can do it with your own, you know, lover, boyfriend, husband, girlfriend, wife, whatever, and connect with your higher self and then connect with their higher self. And we teach about that, too, and we'll do some shows about it, especially because it's Valentine's, right? Well, I want my boyfriend's higher self to get me a diamond ring. It doesn't kind of work like that, but, you know.
Yeah,
you can,
not usually.
Get a point across.
Well, it's what's behind the diamond ring? It's like, it's not the ring you want, it's the deepening commitment. So you can still get, what you're wanting is really a deeper emotional commitment from them when people are saying, oh, I want a ring, you know. If they're really only just wanting a ring, then they really don't deserve that person anyway.
That's exactly. You were so right on about that. And so it's like the commitment you're looking for. But I'm going to tell you, so, you know, I'm on this new thing about, you know, not competing and meeting a nice guy sometime in the future. But one of the things that Dai has done, I have a guy that I really cared about. He has done some wonderful things for me, and I for him, you know, and we broke up years ago. And so I said, Dai, what do you feel about this guy? She goes, you need to reach out to him. I go, so, you know, I said, yeah, okay. I said, I had a dream, and in the dream, it showed me that he really hurt me again. And I wasn't looking to get back together with him, but he had really helped me through such a tumultuous time, and I just wanted to say, hey, how are you, and thank you. And he had lost his wife. It was such a tragic accident, but I won't go into that. And so he was a widow, and, you know, he's a really young widow. And so she connected with him, and she told me, she says, Tree, what did he say to you? Because it was funny how you said it. So, because you tell a story great, but how did he connect with you?
Well, he just said, why is she scared? He just said, why is she scared? It's like,
yeah,
he was annoyed. Why doesn't she just tell her just to call me? Just reach out. Why is she scared? And it was like he was annoyed. You know, like, I can't be bothered with this, you know? She can't, why is she scared of me? She just needs to reach out.
So I did. I reached out to him, right? And I don't care if he has a girlfriend or whatever. I just wanted to embrace him as a soul, in the sense of he really helped me with something, and I never got a chance to say, hey, thanks. And, so when I reached out to him, he was really cold. He was really rude. The angels were really right. And I go, why did I need to reach out to him? And what I feel was to realize that, like you were talking about, and we've talked about on other shows, other in our books and stuff like that, that it was about really valuing myself and knowing that whatever he thinks of me or whatever he thinks of is a reflection of what he thinks of himself, right? Because we mirror each other. And the other thing is, it's like, you know what? I thought about it, stewed about it. And then I found a place for it, because I will stew about things for as long as I ever do that. It will be 3 days. I'm done. And,
I wish in my dreams. Yes.
Three days. Mm-hmm. And I figured it out, and Di helped me with it. And you did. You were wonderful. So to realize that, you know what, whatever he thinks, it's okay, because I came from a really pure place, I think, in my heart. Mm-hmm. Don't you? I feel like you do.
Oh, yeah. So. You do. It was like there was something that you had to, a message for you that was in that. And, you know, when he was very, like I told you, he was very dismissive. And that's, and I've been on the receiving end of someone who was also very dismissive of me when I was trying to be nice, you know, trying to be a friend. And, you know, you get your feelings hurt, and you're like, gee, I'm just trying to be nice here and kind of extend an olive branch, and you're treating me like I'm not worth your time of day. And, you know, I just get mad and say, you know what? F you, because you're not worth my time of day, and you're never going to hear from me again. And one of these days, you're going to want it. You're going to call me because you're going to have a bad day, and you're going to remember nice old Diane who was always compassionate, and you want a shoulder to cry on and someone to vent to and somebody to give you a piece of meatloaf and a beer, you know, and I'm not here. You know, when people mistreat me, that's it. You really have to grovel to get back in my good graces, you know? It's just like you know, you get kicked around, and finally you just say, okay, that's it. You know, I'm done with that. I'm better than that. And so I think sometimes we get mistreated by people just because it's our lesson to learn to say, hey, we're better than that, and we're moving on from that, and we're not going to give any more energy to that person who treats us like we're not worth their time of day. So I think that was kind of your lesson in there with that guy, and I've had the same lesson with.
Mm-hmm. With your guy, mm-hmm. Yeah, with an old guy.
Yeah.
With an old guy. Anyway, he's a very, never mind, I don't get ready to say, but So and I knew that I had every person that we meet, we plan the lessons we learn before we ever get here, and the lessons we teach. And so, have you ever asked yourself, Di, I know I have so many times, why the heck did I plan this, meet this person? I planned this, you know, and I go, am I insane? My mother used to tell me, don't you worry. You planned a life you were going to live before you ever got here. I go, really? I must have been insane to plan for you guys to be my parents, because, you know, we always get mad at her.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, I told them all that, really. Never realizing how true it was, you know, until a little bit later. But we plan the people we meet. We plan the relationships we get in. And they help us to heal, to look at ourselves. And, man, a couple of years ago, I was in a meditation, and this old wizard crone woman was there in the meditation, and she was helping this girl. She was in this chair, and the girl got up, and she looked beautiful. She looked happy, and I knew that she'd been through some sort of process of getting treatment, right, for self-worth or self-esteem. And I knew that the wizard old lady was a symbol for something, and I can't remember now, but anyway, she looked at me and she pointed her finger. She goes, you're next. And I thought, oh, this will be pretty easy. I thought it was like a 1 minute deal, but it has been literally, two thousand twelve. And I'm coming through a lot, but boy, I've went through my life and really went through it with a comb, you know, looking at mm-hmm. like you, looks like you look at everything and does this work? Does this not work? And, And gratitude is so key. You know, every morning I wake up and say, okay, what am I grateful for today? And I, you know, if I'm thinking about a person or people like, you know, my dad, my daughter, whoever, I always am grateful for you and guys that I've met, friends that are mine that are men and women. And I think about, not only do I think about why I'm grateful for them, but the actual things that I'm grateful for. Like, I think for myself, you're like a sister from another mister, right? And you,
right, that's
really,
how we always say that.
Yes.
You're my whole
and you emulate. Yeah, there you go. And you emulate what I, you know, qualities that I'd love to have myself, right? You know, she's a great cook, and you're a great cook. I say that she, anybody's listening, but you're a great cook. You're great in a relationship, and very arts and creative and stuff, but and a great writer. But those qualities I appreciate about you because it's made me tune into my own, you know what I mean? So, I mean, I make really good coffee now, cookies.
I would love to be like you, and I think most people would love to be like you. You are so happy by yourself, and there's so many people, I think that's the number one question, it's always love-related, you know, that so many people are always struggling with not being happy if they don't have that one particular person in their life or by their side, you know. And you're not like that. We all would be so much happier if we were always just happy by ourselves. And I'm happy alone, but I'm happier when I'm with somebody that I love. But you are really happy doing your own thing, connecting with a lot of different people. And I don't mean, you know, having one night stands. I mean, your life is full of meeting people because of what you do. You're meeting all these different people. You're out and about all day. And you just, you're happy and free. You don't need that, you know, the ball and chain, which most of us are craving that ball and chain with the right person. You know, a lot of, we want that great love and that one primary relationship. And you are so funny the way you'll get your feelings hurt and you'll say, I'll be over this in 3 days. And boom, you really are. If I could only do that, that's just like a magical gift of like fairy dust. It's like 3 days. If I only had to be sad for 3 days after a breakup, I mean, that would be like the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. I aspire to be like you. And I don't think I could ever be like that because I get too down with, you know, with breakups. I wish I could say I'll be over this in 3 days, but there's just, that's just not obviously not the way I'm hardwired, but that's really a gift that you have. Maybe that was your angel's gift. Yeah, I mean, it is, to be able to do that. Because you've had some hard time, you know, some crushing things, some people who really hurt you, and you would say, okay, I'm gonna be sad for 3 days. And honestly, the fourth day, you're fine.
You know what? I do is I like to look at it and go, okay, what? There was red flags, because usually where I'm at right now, I'm the one that ends it, right? Because I'm not going to waste time if I, you know, their time or mine, right? And you're catching it yourself, you know, the red flags. So why prolong something hoping that I can make him be something that he's not supposed to be? You know what I mean? Right. Or I can't be that for him that I'm not supposed to be. And that is taking work on for me to do that. And I know for you too, because you'll say, I'm not going to go out with him and because I'll end up hurting him. And you know, and I've said that recently too, because I met a friend of mine. He's a great guy. He's like a little angel. But I don't want to hurt him. I would like to be his friend. But one of the things that I realized that is so important is that, do I love myself enough and do I love humanity enough? You know, because we're here to help. You know, that's what we do as light workers. A lot of us are light workers, and some of us are light workers that cuss, some of whatever. But, you know, but it's like, it's all good. But we've got to look at it and say, okay, if this is not the right guy, then there will be a right guy or a right situation for me. And I just got to trust that, you know what I mean? And I'm not really looking. I figure if I don't look and just let go, then it'll happen when it's supposed to happen, you know? And I'm happy pretty much by myself and dating here and there. I met a great guy. He's my friend. You're helping me out. You said, Tree, be his friend. And I'm being his friend. And yeah, I can't wait to run with him tomorrow. It's going to be fun, but I'm not going to compete. He's 6'5".
But you're not going to compete. That's your mantra. No. I will not look at his time.
But I like running with men because, you know what? Yeah, they help you run better. They do. You know, because usually they're typically better, you know, better athletes. Not all the time, but in this situation with me, they typically are. So anyway, we've got a couple of minutes here, and we've got a couple of minutes. But soul agreements, we'll talk about that. Valentine's, special love. You know, my grandmother used to say this. She goes, "Don't worry." She goes, if you break up with a boyfriend, boyfriends are like buses. I go, okay, Grandma, why are they like buses? She goes, when one bus leaves, there's another one ready to come in. I was like,
right.
You know. And mm-hmm. who's an angel that you work with? I know you. Who's your favorite angel to work with in relationships? And you've told
Archangel
me some great
Samuel
stories.
Samuel and Archangel. I work with Samuel, but I also work with Archangel Gabriel all the time. That's the communication angel, and that helps with everything, but especially relationships. You know, your love relationship. So there's a few, and I always have an affinity for Michael. You know, I think Archangel Michael is just, he's the strong one. You know, he's the one that makes us feel protected. But I like Samuel and Gabriel are the ones I usually am asking for help from.
I know Samuel and Gabriel. I love them. Gabriel, our book is dedicated to. You mean there's a law that says he's attracted to me. And, but I love Gabriel. If you want to get your work out there, you know, your artwork or any kind of mass communication work, Gabriel is the one that will help you. Samuel is strengthens soulmate relationships and also helps you find your soulmate. But you know who I didn't realize this, till much later, because I've seen angels since I was three. But Raphael is actually the keeper of soulmates. Did you know
really?
That? Raphael healing
that.
Isn't that cool?
And
yeah, the keeper's filming. Yeah, I think that's cool. So you've got Raphael there, and I love Raphael because he's a great healer, and I went through a really big healing, and we'll talk about that another time. And Raphael really woke me up in the middle of the night, gave me this message, you know. And Samuel has done the same for me, too, as well. You know, because I'm a little hard-headed, I think. They give me stuff in meditation. Do you remember that time I tapped into that massage therapist who was working on my shoulder because I have a bad shoulder from rock climbing? And
right.
And Dai is so good, okay? She's like a little earth angel. You're so funny. I don't like him. I'm like, okay, why don't you like him? I just don't like him. Anyway, so I go, all right, she doesn't like him. And I go, I'm feeling something too. What's up? So Samuel, he shows up, his higher self does, and he says, I'm going to ask you out, right? And then I go, okay, if I'm not supposed to go out with him, give me a dream or give me something. So in the dream, Samuel comes, and he's standing in front of me, and he says, he will hurt you. I was like, great. Okay.
He will hurt you.
Yeah. So I told me the same thing the day before. I'm like, darn die. So I can't believe that she's tuned in. Well, we all are. And, you know, but Samuel is your favorite. I like Samuel, too. How about Lakshmi and Ganesh? Great, great, great. I know you've worked with them too as well.
Yes.
I love Lakshmi, goddess of prosperity, or ascended master. So is Ganesh, the elephant head, and removes obstacles. So if you have obstacles in your relationship, in your prosperity, you know. I had somebody tell me the other day, does the IRS count as an obstacle? I go, the IRS is the IRS.
They're the devil head. No, I'm kidding.
One
of those
ones that
are
listening to the show.
Right, exactly. That's so funny. I like that. Yeah, they would be they could be an obstacle to you, but the thing is you've created that obstacle yourself, you know. They're just
that's right.
Drawing your attention to it. Yeah.
That's okay. Right. Yeah. Yeah, I know. I told my father, I said, Dad, I'm going to a meeting with my accountant next week because I just want all, you know, you get it out of the way and that way you don't have to worry about it and deal with it. You know what I mean? Let your accountant deal with it and do what you got to do. But it was a husband and wife. So I was like, okay, Ganesh. Yeah, sure. Ask Ganesh to help you remove the obstacle to pay the IRS. What is the IRS, you know? And he goes, okay, I'm going to do that. He's real quiet. I can feel him disgruntled, though. I mean, not quite sure what to say or to do. So. You need to know in your relationships, haven't you, Ganesh and Lakshmi? So,
I missed your question. I'm sorry. What was the question?
I said, how do you use Lakshmi and Ganesh in your relationships? Or how do you do that?
You know, I talk to them and I just ask them to help me allow abundance And so abundance could mean anything. It can mean wealth. It can mean, you know, happiness, love, whatever. And so what I've done with them is just ask them to help me allow that to happen for myself, because I think I'm one of those people that I do block it. You know, I do block it sometimes. It's like I get down on myself or, you know, down on somebody, and it's like I'm not allowing, I'm just not open. I'm not open to a new person or a new career, whatever it is. And, you know, so I've asked him for help to just helping me allow abundance to come to me and to help release the blocks. And I really think they work. I really do. They work.
I agree. I agree with you on that, because I work with Lakshmi and Ganesh too as well. They do. They help you release the abundance, and they really help you have prosperity and your bank account, your health, your job and promotions and everything. So, you know, and I think that is really, really key to recognize and understand. So a couple things before we close the show. We've got, if you look us up on Instagram, it's Angel Coaches. Skype is Angel Coaches. I don't know if anybody. And then we've got Dear Angels on Facebook, and then Angel Coaches on Facebook too. So you can find our pages there, and you know, and we're going to be here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. and 8 p.m. East Coast time, 5 p.m. And then, by the way, you guys, you got to dive. We'll talk about the deer that she feeds that are wild deer. She's a deer whisperer, so we'll talk about that another time.
The deer whisperer.
I know, I love that, right? So they come. They actually come up in any from your hand, don't they?
Mm-hmm. So one of them is from my hand. The others just wait to be fed.
That's cute.
The
I like it.
They stare at me until I give them corn. Yes. Yay. I love them. They're part of us. They're love. You know, they're nature, and they're sensitive, gentle beings. You know, I love the deer.
Thank you. Lulu comes and looks in the window. She called me one day, had a deer on a bear on her porch. I go, "What's the bear doing?" Looking at me. I go, "What are you doing?" Looking at the bear. Like, okay. Anyway.
We're having a spirit
off
through the window.
Yeah. He wasn't afraid. You're not afraid. That was cute. We'll see everybody next week at 8 p.m. East Coast time, or 5 p.m. West Coast, or viewers at 6 p.m. There you go. All right, everybody. Take care. Have a great night, and we'll see you later.
Bye.